It's the Brush back here on WSMIRadio.com with Jenkins and K. Hirsch. I'm David Jenkins, Kyle Hirschelman alongside with me, and we've got a special guest today, Tim Mize, first-time Brushbacker.
Oh, so special.
I'm the rook.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, carry your bags the rest of the day then? Is that how that works?
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
So the high school football season, high school sports season, I should say, is well underway. The outside of football, the other seasons have been going on for about 2 weeks, maybe three. I think two, probably more accurate. Football season, obviously, the games just started this past weekend. So we have plenty to talk about. And, yeah, you,
that
Kyle,
was a great transition.
That was fantastic.
I really appreciate that.
That's why I'm here. Kyle was at one location on Friday. Tim was at another. That's why Tim is on, because, you know, he covered one of our other games. Yes.
Wearing,
wearing his professional fedora, because apparently you're too there comes an age when you're not able to wear a ball cap. Backwards.
That's right. Yes, and 36 is the number.
See, yeah. I wore the fedora a couple of years ago. You know, I've kind of retired it mainly because I get hot. I think it's a good look.
Thank you, but I can't wear it when I'm on the air because of the headphones.
That makes sense.
So I'm not sporting the headphones today for the podcast. So I've got it on.
It works good.
But yeah, once you get a certain age, you can't wear your hat backwards.
This I didn't know.
Oh no. Yes, David. Well, you're young. You'll realize it in a few years.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
30 is 4 years away. I don't know why I'm looking at my watch. Not that it's gonna
that's going to tell you.
Yeah. The watch is going to tell
you. 4 years.
Me how
many minutes is that?
Yes, I can't.
Kirsch, I don't know about you, but like. As people, you know, as the younger generation is coming up, you'll have conversations like, I wasn't born then.
Yeah. The people that haven't seen Top Gun.
This guy.
And don't even know what it is.
Make
me extremely sad.
I'm with you. We had this conversation, David and I, the other day.
Right.
It's just not right.
I know what it is. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Bull Durham was another one. Yeah. We had our movies episode, and pretty much it could have easily been renamed Movies David Hasn't Seen.
that's a good
sadness.
Title.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, football.
Yeah.
So you saw Litchfield.
Yeah, I saw Litchfield and Staunton play, you know, kind of the new look to the program for Litchfield. Tom Priddle, head coach. You knew right off the bat it was going to be a hard year for them just due to numbers. I mean, I think they got, I want to say.
Louis Lang was telling us it was 25 for the entire program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and might be 30 for the entire program, okay. But they had some injuries too. So, like, I mean, I would say they probably had 25 or so dressed. That's including some freshmen. And they may not have been the ones that were dressed, but that's the whole program. You know, they still got some weapons though. I mean, Trevor Geagy looked pretty good at times. 9 carries, 44 yards, 2 catches for 37, had their own only touchdown.
That might be more carries than he had all of last season.
Yeah,
that's
possible.
Had him playing at receiver last year.
Yeah, and he'll catch some out of the backfield. Whenever you can, that's what they did on their scoring drive. You know, they threw him a little short pass, and then he turned it into a 25-yard touchdown. Sam Painter looked pretty decent at times. Kane Davis on the defense looked really good. As did Dylan Maxwell at times. So they're going to struggle, though.
Yeah.
It's just a numbers game, and Geagy's touchdown came with 45-0. So they had already cut the time and
running
clock going.
You know, Kyle, we've seen like Nokomis the last few years. They've had lower numbers, and they've kind of been able to survive it, but. At 1A and in the Prairie State, you can get away with that. In the South Central Conference, with those low numbers, that's rough.
Yeah, it's going to – and Staunton did not look bad. You know, granted, the only time I saw Staunton last year was whenever they were laying a beating on Litchfield again. So, I mean, you know, I'm not sure that they look that much different than they did last year. But they got some weapons too. Ryan Best, a pretty good-sized kid, running back, ran for 63 yards and a touchdown on 12 carries. Drew Mullinex, Ethan Mullinex's brother, ran for 13 times for 58 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Well, and I know Staunton was 1-8 last year, but they were returning a lot of their players. So yeah. a lot of the players were just sophomores last year.
Yeah, in reality, they should, you know, they should make a jump up a little bit. We'll see how they do in the coming weeks. They, you know, have they got Greenville next week.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, you know, a test for them. If they can hang with Greenville or even beat Greenville, that's going to be a big move for them. But Griffin Bianco at quarterback, too, played pretty well.
He's a good little athlete, Bianco.
Yeah, good athlete. And I didn't really realize, I mean, he went 10 for 12 passing, so which is pretty solid. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a little lower. I thought his percentage was a little lower than that, but that really he did pretty well. And they had a lot of enthusiasm out there. You know, they've gone through the same thing that Litchfield has with the coaching. Too, so.
Well, I was just going to comment on that, Kyle, that since Staunton played in the state championship game, they've had three head coaches, and that wasn't that long ago.
No, and that's tough. Anytime you got somebody, I mean, regardless, and I'm sure all of them were good guys. I mean, you know, it's just a tough situation to go through. So whenever you kind of have that revolving door, hopefully Litchfield's done with that. Hopefully Staunton's done with that. Yeah. So.
We'll see. We mentioned Staunton beat Litchfield 45-7. Some of the other scores that happened Friday in the South Central specifically. Pena beat Greenville 25-13. Looks like Jacob Beeson had a 59-yard run, a 68-yard run, 76-yard pass, and a 24-yard pass.
Kid's going to be
good.
Beast. I mean, he was good last year. Kid's going to be just a flat-out beast for Pena. Yeah. And that's a good win for them, you know, against a good Greenville team. Christian Moss, big-time running back for Greenville, too, had a touchdown for them. But, you know, and they were up early, I believe.
It was at Greenville, too, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, that's
Greenville led for a good portion of it, I believe.
Yeah, that's a good win for Pena and like I said, Beeson. I mean, to break off those kind of numbers and those kind of big time scoring plays is huge for them. So
well, it's been a while since Greenville started the season 0-1 too.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time. You know,
well, they didn't lose to Litchfield, and that's been like 8 years or something like that.
I know it's been a while for them. So,
yeah, Litchfield, you know, probably thinking, hey, we don't have to play Greenville week one.
Yeah, exactly.
Week one didn't go real well.
No, but yeah, I was going to say, I hope expectations are realistic.
I think they are, probably.
You know, for the most part. And I think everybody's going to give Tom a chance as a coach.
So. And what I've said from the get-go with Coach Priddle is, I see him bringing back kind of the Pat Rince type of mentality and philosophy to the program. You know, there was only a one-year gap in between it, but those things can get lost and forgotten very quickly. And it's going to take him time, but I really do think he'll get back to that type of Litchfield pride, row the boat, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right on there. And Seth Hill kind of did his own thing, and if it would have worked, it would have been great, you know, but it didn't quite work, so...
His may have worked, but he needed, with the kind of system he was implementing, he was going to need like 3 or 4 years, and it was going to take a lot of time. I mean, and I think he probably just had expectations that were higher than they should have been. I mean, he may have built up a program at Litchfield if he would have been there for a long period of time. That's the thing, it was going to take a long time.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. So, but yeah, like I said, It'll be interesting to see how this season goes. But
that's right.
But like I said, Pena, I think, will be very good. I mean, Beeson, you know, just looking up and down through the games this week, you know, if the mythical South Central Conference Player of the Week, you know, he'd be right up there.
Yeah.
You know,
does that not exist? Do we not have a South Central Player of the Week?
Not that I know of.
We start it right now.
We should on the brush back.
I would put him up there.
South Central Football Player of the Week, because
sure.
We don't want to eliminate all the other sports either.
No, absolutely. Yeah. There's a couple others that had some pretty impressive stuff happen too. Vandalia defeated Gillespie 49-20. Marcus Zimmerman, who I could have swore was
gone,
like in college, but it just seems like he's been tearing it up for several years now. But two 80-yard kickoff returns for a touchdown, 66-yard pass reception. Then Trevor Smalls had TD runs of 74 and 81 and a 61-yard pass reception. So,
and two touchdown passes for Matthew Wells. Is he Was he their starting quarterback for Vandalia? Or was he Gillespie?
He's starting quarterback for Vandalia. Gotcha. And I would assume that he – I don't know this for certain. I would assume he is from the Richie Wells family tree.
One would guess.
One would guess, yeah, yes.
So you get rid of one super athletic Wells kid, and Vandalia's got another one waiting in the wings.
It's like the Binties with Carlinville years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
50 straight years of a Binty.
Bowman's with Calhoun.
There
and
you
stuff
go.
Like
exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, Vandalia. I mean, granted, I think Gillespie's expectations are probably toward the bottom half of the conference. But you know, for Vandalia to just come out and drop those kind of numbers and drop, you know, that many points. I mean, Gillespie's touchdowns came late. So and kind of mop up time. I think similar to what Litchfield did with Staunton. So they could be good. I mean, Gillespie had an 81-yard rusher, from Dominic. I'm a newspaper writer.
Makopet,
yeah.
We'll find out for sure whenever we have them on the broadcast for the first
yeah,
time.
Good luck with that.
If you're listening to this and you're from that family and you want to correct us, please let us know. Makopet, Maykopet.
Yeah, 81 yards touchdown for Dom.
Dom.
We're going to go.
There you go.
Dom. But, yeah. But yeah, like I said, Zimmerman, Smalls, Jacob Beeson from Pena, you know, got a pretty good argument for our inaugural
South Central Conference football player
of the week.
That's good. It sounds like we talked to Jacob Bilbrook, the new head coach of Gillespie, a couple weeks ago on Sports Saturday, and it sounds like their first part of the schedule is really brutal.
Well, they got the three teams picked that won the conference last year and the three teams picked to finish at the top of the conference this year. So the realized schedule didn't work out too good for Gillespie.
Right.
No.
Yeah, let's say they got – I mean, of their first, first three opponents all won week one, Vandalia, Carlinville, and Pena.
Yeah.
And then they got Roxana and Hillsboro. So,
as Duffy would say, though, hey, you got to play them sometime.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Get them out of the way early.
Yeah. In all honesty, that's the thing, you know. I mean, although later in the season you may be – your roster may be depleted somewhat.
Well, exactly right. And you never want to start 0-3 – even if the opponents you all play are fantastic, just for a variety of reasons. And for Gillespie, that'll be a tough battle. But if they could somehow steal one of those games, if they're 1-2 coming out of those 3 weeks, they'll feel really good about themselves.
They should feel amazing because,
yes.
Like I said, those were – I mean, the three teams that I figured had the best shot of doing extremely well this year. Yeah. So
were they on the road against Vandalia as well, or were they at home?
No,
it was a home game.
They were at home against Vandalia, on the road against Carnival.
Right.
And then home against Pena, and then Roxana in week four. So it's an interesting run for the Miners there. But like I said, I'm really, you know, personally, I'm excited to see Vandalia play. I think, I think they will be a fun team to watch with you know, so many big time guys capable of breaking off a big run like Zimmerman, like Smalls. So I think they'll be fun.
It'll be interesting to see that game next week, and it'll be one of our two broadcast features, Vandalia at Hillsboro. The Toppers, I mean, they were right there in week one. I mean, they made a few too many mistakes, but they had plays that if they hit them, it's a totally different ball game. Just a few overthrows, missing a couple of wide-open receivers. But you can see the potential in the Toppers. I mean, it's there, and they took Vandalia to overtime last year. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Hillsboro comes out on Friday night and takes it to them.
And that'll be your prototypical, you know, I mean, big-time defense versus big-time offense. Not that either team can't hold their own on either side of the ball, but, you know, whenever I think of Hillsboro, especially this year, you know, you got a lot of kids that hit pretty hard. You got a lot of kids that like to play defense. And then you have these – you know, major threats from Vandalia. I think it'll be a fun game.
You know, the thing with Hillsboro, it's been the same for a number of years. Just the style that they play, penalties really set them back. When they get behind the chains, they just have a hard time keeping drives alive. And most of their losses the last few years, that seemingly has been the issue. Defensively, they're right there. Their special teams are solid. The running game is good. But if they get down in a game or get behind the chains, they really have a tough time.
And that game was a final 18-7. Carlinville beat Hillsboro in week one. And I think it was Aaron Duff on Sports Saturday said they passed the ball 20 times, which is incredible for Hillsborough, it seems, because they don't, I don't know that they ever pass the ball that many times in a game.
I mean, yeah, they're not known for passing the ball per se, but Dylan Civitate, you reminded me of Jared Lorenzen.
Yeah.
Just so big out there.
That's a good call. I forgot about old big Jared Lorenzen. Yeah.
While he was in school.
Byron Leftwich. Yeah. You know, that kind of guy. Yeah.
But, you know, Dylan, he throws a nice ball. I mean, a couple of plays, I mean, they were right there, just a little bit overthrown. And for a kid making his first varsity start at quarterback, you would expect those types of throws maybe to happen. I would anticipate that he gets that shirt up as the year goes on.
Yeah, and I think you're right. You know, I mean, this whole week one is going to be, you know, a lot of trial and error. And I think, you know, they got some weapons, you know, they got some sure-handed kids. So, you know, if he can get his touchdown a little bit, you know, I think it'll prove to be pretty potent. So,
and the power of Civitate and the power of Fernandez is going to play real nice with the speed of Gunnar Lintz.
Yeah, it's nice mix there. You know, I mean, you can kind of do some different stuff and keep teams off balance, and I think that'll be really good.
Some other scores that happened. We'll get more into the games we covered here in a little bit, but some other scores that happened in South Central. Southwestern beat Roxana. Kind of a slow start offensively for both teams, as it was, I think, scoreless at the half. Southwestern ended up putting up 22 in the second half. They, Caleb Robinson, a pretty good quarterback. Sounds like, what was that, 8 for 49, or is that 49 yards passing?
That is rushing yards. So
okay. Oh, 8 rushes, 49.
8 rushes, 49 yards, 1 touchdown. Got it. Bobby Smith, 15 carries, 112 yards, 1 touchdown.
I think this is his third year starting at quarterback too. Is a Robinson for Southwestern.
Might be.
Because I've seen that name for a few years now.
There's several Robinsons over there. It's the thing that, like I said, I was just looking at some of the stats there. They had a 99-yard interception return for a touchdown.
Boy.
It's like
the first week.
It's like the old Red Fox, you know.
I mean, you can go the whole year and not see a 99-yard pick six.
Yeah, that's amazing, you know, but also, the guy's got one of the better football names ever, Tanner Whips.
That's solid.
Yeah.
That's
so I'm looking forward to hearing you guys talk about that. So,
but see, in college or the pros, if you run back 99 yards, you get some oxygen on the sidelines. I don't think they have that at the high school level. At least not down here.
No, maybe like a paper bag or something to give you.
Athleticare hasn't provided that yet.
Not yet.
One of these days, maybe. Yeah. But
You notice one of those names that's not on that list is Jordan Hawkins. We'd heard the rumors that he didn't go out. He's the big running back for Roxana. It looks like he, in fact, it was true. He didn't go out for football, and that's a huge loss for Roxana.
Man.
To lose.
He didn't play in the game I saw him, so to me, he doesn't exist.
You've never seen him, so he just doesn't exist.
I saw him his sophomore year, so okay. I didn't see him last year, so. He doesn't exist. And you know what? I hope whatever he's doing, I hope he's being a productive citizen and enjoys his time off from
football.
That's
fine, yeah.
Michael Cherry, 11 carries, 66 yards, 1 touchdown for Roxana. He did play.
Yeah.
He did go out for the team. So,
well, Tim didn't get to see him either a couple of years in the playoff game. Or did you see him?
I saw him a couple years ago.
Carlinville Roxana playoff game.
Is he related to LaTroy Hawkins?
I don't see how he couldn't.
It's not that, common of a name.
They're all related somehow. One score that was not South Central related, but we do cover, Nokomis all over Farmer City Blue Ridge, 41-0. So the Skins got off to a nice start to their season.
Yeah, Drew Watson had a heck of a game, 110 yards rushing, 129 yards passing, 6-13, 3 touchdowns on the ground, caught 2 interceptions, sold hot dogs at halftime, put out a fire on the way home.
You're busy.
Yeah, just all over the place.
He's part of that fire class or whatever.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's Drew's one of the fire explorers with some of the other bunch. Actually, a bunch of their football team is on. They're like, it's like a junior firefighting thing. Drew and Ben Marley, who's one of their, he was a Prairie State All defensive MVP last year. Carter Flowers, Connor Engelman.
You know, you're talking about kids that seem like they've been there forever. How long has Ben Marley been in Nokomis? It seems like he's been there for 12 years.
Yeah, and knowing Ben, he might have been. But Ben's a great kid, really entertaining kid. A couple of years ago, we did a Twitter Six Man Award, for basketball, and Ben comes out and makes a video of him doing a drop step and popping a three and just missing it. But it's all like set to like Ride of the Valkyries, you know? So I mean, just a fun kid.
And teams need guys like that.
Exactly. Well, and it doesn't hurt that he's an absolute beast on the field.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he had, you know, 2 tackles, 5 assists, and an interception in their win against Blue Ridge. So,
well, he's got a shot at Bud Foster's school record, doesn't he? That's what Dave Kane said.
Could be. I'm not sure what.
I think Dave said it was like 49 tackles coming into the season, 49 tackles away from Bud Foster's record.
That sounds possible. Ben's a, like I said, he's a legit, he's, like Tim said, he's been playing, I think, since he's a freshman. So, you know, he might have played his 8th grade year. I don't know. But, I mean, he's not like the most physically imposing kid whenever you just see him walking around, but he's a physical presence on the football field. And like I said, that's a good win for Nokomis. Any win's a good win. But especially going into week 2 against Decatur St. Teresa.
Yeah, they're kind of good.
Yeah,
kind
of
good.
Yeah, so that's gonna be a rough go for them possibly. But if they can, you know, carry some of the lessons that they've taken from there, you know, I think they can just build on it for the rest of the season. So
the Prairie State will be interesting this year. It'll have a little different look to it, of course, with South Mac coming in for football. They had a 3-point loss. They were right there.
I saw that, like 36-33.
Yeah,
so
they were winning in the fourth quarter. But you got Marquette, of course, probably not stepping on a limb to say they're probably the favorites and will win the conference. You never know. And Marquette always seems like just as an odd fit to me for the Prairie State Conference.
Yeah, it does. But I'm not sure where you put them.
Well, that's right.
You know, I mean, they were a bit of an odd fit for the South Central Conference, too. You know, it just seemed – I think that's part of that's the private school thing. You know, I think at times – you know, whether it's a big private school or a small private school, I think it can sometimes feel odd, regardless of who it is. Like
they would be one of the smaller schools, but they almost fit in like a Mississippi Valley or a Southwestern Conference.
It's possible, yeah. You know, I mean, but they fluctuate. It seems like so much from really really good to okay. You know, yeah. I mean, It's just an interesting dynamic. So,
but it's their conference to lose.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so.
Pawnee will probably finish somewhere near the top of the conference as well. East Alton Wood River, I would expect to finish at the top of the Prairie State, based on who they've got returning and what the conference is like. I mean, they were a playoff team last year, and they're returning quite a few of their kids. So I would expect the Oilers to do pretty well.
Pawnee took it on the chin.
Yeah,
who'd they
from
play?
Shelbyville,
61-0.
Yeah, they got
Well, maybe not. I don't. This was heading. This was preseason. I figured.
But you see, remember last
year,
Pawnee got off to a really bad start. They were picked to win the conference last year, and they started, especially in conference play, started very, very slow and weren't able to recover.
Well, and I think you see that a lot in the Prairie State because they don't have a closed conference. So you're going up against whoever has some openings, like Nokomis played Monticello, you know, a couple years there, and just got smacked in the mouth, you know, right at that first game. So whenever you don't have the opportunity, you know, I think you're going to have some guys like this, you know, Blue Ridge team, where they don't have as much experience, or you're going to get a team like Monticello that just lays the hammer down, or Decatur St. Teresa too, right, for that matter. So. But it'll be interesting to see how that goes. You know, the East Alton Wood River, the Oilers is obviously an appropriate nickname. The Boats. East Alton Wood River Boats.
The Boats.
See, I've always,
I see what you did there. I see.
It's like Woodlawn, the ornaments. So,
no way, is that really?
No, it's okay. Not there. It's Cardinals. But wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be.
The Tulane Highwaymen.
I would like to see a lot more variety in schools' nicknames. It's too plain and too bland. Like, I was really disappointed. I brought this up on Sports Saturday. I was really disappointed when South Mac went with the Chargers.
Yeah.
They should have gone Bucks.
What would have been? I actually like Bucks. You know, I like Bucks, and I like Whitetails.
There you go.
You know?
There you go,
like,
yes.
Montgomery County Whitetails,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then you could even break it down even further. You could have, like, the Bucks and the Does for the
right,
men's and women's
That's
teams.
Right.
So,
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't ask me, though, Kyle.
There's a reason why we weren't consulted on this.
Very true.
They really ought to consult their local media because that's the ones who's got to refer to them.
Is South Mac's like mascot like a phone charger?
I don't know.
Like it's like one of those Apple, you know, charging things. So
just a port.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Outlets.
It's got a USB outlet to it. So
oh goodness, but. I don't know. Or the North Mac Panthers whenever they became the Panthers. That can't get more generic than that. The Chargers is at least, you know, it's unique. There's not really a lot of them out here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there are. That's true. You know, I think
Panthers is a different story.
I think Orion up north, I think they're the Chargers possibly. And so, but I don't hear a lot. So, you know, going back to one of the games we mentioned earlier, you know, how did Carlinville look? You know, because, you know, there's you know that they lost like Jacob Dixon, but they also bring back quite a few guys too.
Well, they've basically got their entire defense back, and they've got 3/5 of their offensive line back. So you've got Gabe Long, I think they list him at 300 pounds, left tackle. Daniel Card, of course, Kelsey's brother, I think he's like 275 at left guard. So, I mean, they were opening up Mack truck-sized holes the entire night off that left side. Jared Easterday, of course, got good experience as a freshman a couple years ago when Adam Walton got hurt. It's hard to get a good read on them after 1 week. But I mean, they're going to be a good football team. Sure. There's no question about that. They're not going to be, I don't think, as explosive as you've come to expect from a Carlinville team. They could wind up being that way, but I didn't see the breakaway 80 yard type of touchdowns potentially in this unit like we've seen the last few years.
It seems like they're going to have more of a passing game than they have.
Jared Easterday can spin. I mean, that kid, he can throw the ball.
Say, look like, you know, I mean, 12 for 19, 126 yards that's pretty solid output for, especially for week one. So,
and remember, they lost their two big receivers from last year too, in Jamison and Connor Emmett. So in that first week, I mean, you're replacing an All-State running back. You're replacing two really good receivers who made big plays for him for several years. So you factor all that in on the road against a tough Hillsboro team. Chad Easterday very happy to get out of there with the win as they did. They're going to be a solid club. I mean, there's no question about that. But I don't think it's going to be the vintage Carlinville type of team.
Well, you know, but that shows a lot for them that they can kind of grind out a win too. You know, I mean, that's that it doesn't have to be all flash, you know. I mean, which, you know, Jacob Dixon was just, you know, one of a kind athlete.
Ridiculous.
You know, I mean, watching him in football, watching him in wrestling, you know, he was just a freak. You know, I mean, I mean that in the most complimentary way possible.
Absolutely. And even last year, I mean, Dixon was great, 3,000 yards. We know all that. But if the Carlinville defense wasn't what it was last year, they wouldn't have gone to the state championship game. I mean, that defense last year, and I see very similar things in that squad this year. All three levels can make plays. Their defensive line can get consistent pressure. Their linebackers know how to cover the middle of the field. And their secondary, they're ball hawks. Yeah. You know, they're not looking to knock it down. They're looking to pick it off and run it back.
Yeah, and that bodes well. And that's maybe where you get your biggest you know, plays from too, is if you get a guy that can, you know, snag one and run it back for 50, 60 yards, that changes the game.
Huge
in a second.
Huge momentum plays. And they do still have a Dixon, Kyle.
Yes, yeah. Kyle. So.
He is unbelievably athletic.
What I've said is he's a better athlete than Jacob was. Jacob's a better football player, but Kyle's a better athlete.
That's what they say. And
that's what some say.
Well, yeah, this is true. Form your own opinion.
I think Kyle is a great athlete. Jacob Dixon was one of the best athletes I've seen in a long time. Yeah. So
form your own opinion.
It's easy to say that whenever the other guy's not on the field anymore.
Very true.
So
very true.
So to me, kind of one of my biggest overreactions from week one is it seems like the top five teams in the South Central, including Carlinville, Pena, Vandalia, Hillsboro, and Greenville, pretty evenly matched.
Yeah,
I don't know how it's going to end up, but I would say those are pretty, I would say pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, I personally see it most likely coming down to Vandalia and Pena personally, because Carlinville has to go to Pena.
Okay.
This year,
and that'll be
tough.
Yeah, and you know, Pena and Vandalia are always historically tough places to play, as are Carlinville and Greenville, mainly because they just win all the time.
Yeah, they have good teams.
You know, I was going to say, but like I said, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You know, next week. You know, you got to like Carlinville over Gillespie. No offense to the Miners, but at their home, you know, home opener.
Well,
so.
Don't you think, too, Carlinville this year, they're going to embrace and relish the underdog type of role? Because they're going to be counted out by people like they really haven't been counted out for in a while. Because the last number of years, as Greenville and as Carlinville, take your pick, you know. This year, losing what they lost, like Chad Easley was telling me before week one, people don't think we're good. Yeah. People just don't think we're that good.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, and
they are.
And they'll show that pretty quick. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think, like, going back to your point, David, I don't think you underestimate any of the, you know, quote unquote top five teams.
Right.
And then you have the opportunity for somebody like Southwestern, who had a nice win over Roxana. They have the opportunity to come in and sneak in and kind of upset the apple cart too.
And you know how it is in high school football. Everybody wants to win the conference, of course, but make the playoffs. So you start counting, how do we get to five wins? Because if you get to five wins in the South Central, based on the points, history says you're going to make it.
Yeah.
So that makes, realistically, if you're not Vandalia, Pena, or Carlinville, you're not going to beat one of those three teams. So that's three losses right there. So you got to get five wins somewhere else on your schedule. So that makes, you know, the Southwestern Roxana, the Southwestern Hillsborough, those types of games, those become playoff games in the regular
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely.
Staunton, when they lost in the state championship game, they were 5-4 heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, so.
That was a crazy year, though, for them. They were Jake Broon, their quarterback, their DB, their all-purpose player. He starts the first five games, they're 5-0. Gets hurt. Misses the last four regular season games. They lose all four. Comes back for the playoffs, and they go all the way to the state championship.
He was a heck of an athlete.
Yes, he was.
They had a similar problem the year prior, though. They'd started 4-0 and then lost out and missed the playoffs. So, and that was their first year back in the South Central. So, had to adjust to that kind of schedule. Yeah. Other things happened over the weekend other than football. Kyle, you were at Carlinville on Saturday for the Carlinville Kickoff Classic.
Beautiful, Loveless Park in Carlinville, which they put a gate up so I couldn't drive through. So I ended up walking about 6 miles.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I would have been better off if I would have, you know, parked in Atwater.
I would have got Darren Deneve on the phone and said, hey, shuttle, down here immediately.
I saw Darren. Always a pleasure to see Darren, you know, reminisce. really good tournament. Jerseyville, Father McGivney, which is at the Catholic school out of Glen Carbon.
Mm-hmm.
Athens and Southeast are in the first place bracket. Roxana, Springfield Lutheran, Lincolnwood, Hillsboro in the fifth place bracket. And then Litchfield, Carlinville, Gillespie, and the Ewar Riverboats are also playing there in the ninth place bracket. So
I've noticed they kept their names the first place, fifth place, and ninth place bracket, not something weird like, you know,
gold and
silver, bronze.
I don't know. They may have not. They may have different names for their brackets.
Well, this is what it should be.
I call them what I want.
Yeah.
you know.
Darren sent it to me, though. He had championship
fifth
place.
He had the different places. So, you know, I.
People should get used to Father McGivney. They are going to be a powerhouse across the board in a number of years. It's only like a 3-year-old school. They've taken lumps the first 2 years, but
they're
going to build it up.
They're fixing to lay a whooping on some people. And they did very well. Beat a solid Carlinville team 2-0, and then a good Lutheran team 3-0. Lutheran and Carlinville played each other in the other pool play game in that one. Lutheran won 3-2. Matt Schmidt. Maybe the best, definitely one of the top 10 players in the South Central Conference, scored twice for Carlinville. Lincolnwood split, one win, 4-0 over Gillespie. Evan Hopper, Aaron, superintendent's son, did not have a lot of varsity playing experience, but has really come on and as an attacker for them, for Lincolnwood, scored all four goals. They are very good on the defense, too. So they won that game and then played about 2 hours later and tied Athens. They ended up in the second place bracket because Athens beat Gillespie 6-0 in goal differential. Hillsboro lost to Southeast on a after kind of a scrum after a corner kick in the final 90 seconds of the game. It was really a well-played game for both teams. I mean, both teams had some chances, and I think Hillsboro was a little tentative. pulling the trigger on a couple shots, and they kind of adjusted that and came back and beat East Alton Wood River 6-1. So Mitchell Beck scored 2 goals. He's a returning all-conference player. Grant Hamby, I think, also made all-conference last year. He had a goal. Also was the kicker for the Hillsboro football team. Josh Bauman and Isaiah Atkins and Chris Moore. So,
tell you what, Hamby drilled his extra point on Friday.
Yeah.
Straight down the middle, and they went almost over the track.
Yeah, they said he I was talking to his dad after or the Pep Rally Journal News hosted on that Thursday, and he said he was working with him, and also he got some instruction from Greenville's kicker, the Greenville University kicker, okay, after their scrimmage that they had on on preview night the Friday before their first game. So he said that really helped him. They shortened up his stride, and he's really done some good things kicking. So that's a nice little tool for him to have. Also a very good soccer player. So, you know, that works out well.
Are you used to that Greenville University yet, Tim?
No, when you said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, wait, no, it's not college.
I know. I do the same thing. Them and McKendree both, it just doesn't feel right to flow off the tongue yet. Mm-hmm. But
someday, perhaps.
Yeah. And then in the other pool, Litchfield lost to Jerseyville, who is kind of the Goliath in that tournament. They've won the title the last several years, I believe. But
haven't lost a match in quite some time.
Not in a long time. So, they won't beat Litchfield 8-1 with Keating Monroe getting the goal. And then Litchfield and Roxana played a really good match. Litchfield almost came back to beat them. Lost to the Shells 4-3. Alec Fricke with 2 goals and Ian Hall with 1. Litchfield's soccer team is kind of in the same situation their football team is. Just not a lot of numbers. They got 2 guys off the bench for subs. They're playing quite a few freshmen, but they got some really talented kids too, especially Keating Monroe, who has, I think he's got 5 goals this season so far, and Austin Marburger, who's on the back in the defense. So, they're a team. They've already got wins over Pena and Southwestern, so they could still do some damage in the South Central Conference, but they need to stay healthy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big thing. So
this tournament looks a lot like the Litchfield Invitational Basketball Tournament in styles of, like, it's got a really good mix of 3A, 2A, and 1A, and really quality teams.
Yeah, and they do a good job over there. Tim Johnson's the head soccer coach over there, and obviously Darren. Tim was riding his moped around, putting flags on the corner post. It cracked me up. But Tim's a really good guy and really bought into the Carlinville community and wants to see it succeed. So, like I said, it's a fun tournament. It continues today. Which is Monday, for those of you not listening on Monday. and then Wednesday, August 30th, and Thursday, August 31st is the final day. And like I said, there's going to be some pretty good games. If McGivney and Jerseyville, I could see that being a really good match. So they said McGivney really plays the ball well, possesses the ball well, moves the ball around a lot. So it should be, like I said, a nice little tournament. There's a chance you'll see Hillsboro-Lincolnwood play each other too. So
seems that's like always that's, good.
Seems like that's happened a lot over the past few years, more than they're scheduled.
Occasionally. I mean, they play in the Lincolnwood Invitational. That's because it's a round robin. Right. They play in regionals just because they've been the best teams in regionals.
Right, yeah.
So, they've been the played in the regional championship quite a bit. So, but
I liken it like to Hillsboro Litchfield basketball the past few years, where they've been scheduled to play each other once or twice, and they play each other like 4 times a year.
Yeah, it's completely possible, and they're always entertaining games.
Yeah.
Usually hard on the heart. So, like I said, Hillsboro should be really good in the conference this year. They're 1-2, but don't let that fool you. Same with Roxana at 1-3. Staunton's already got a win over Roxana and a win over Carlisle, so they could be pretty good and Pena and Carlinville are also right there on the cusp too. So
some volleyball scores to report as well. Some things that happened.
Yeah, Roxana had a tournament. Gillespie finished 10th. Roxana finished 2nd. So shells could be good.
Yeah, that's like the sun rising though. But
yeah,
they're always good.
Yeah. So, but
Bunker Hill got 3rd in that tournament.
Bunker Hill got 3rd. So yeah, they. That was one of the teams that Roxana beat. The Minute Maids, also one of my favorite nicknames.
That's right. My sister's their coach.
Oh, no kidding. Yes. I had no idea. Yes. That's excellent. So, but Roxana is, I don't think they're going to be it. Yeah. But I think they'll be a tough team. And they're Gillespie and Hillsboro played earlier last week. First game for both teams. And Hillsboro pulled out a 3-game win. Looked pretty solid. I think as the season progresses, they'll be pretty good too. So they got a nice mix of young and old. So,
and Gillespie, you know, it's hard to figure them for volleyball because basketball,
yeah,
tough. Yeah. Basically the same girls, but they haven't had the same success hasn't quite translated for them.
Yeah, and they'll, like I said, I think they'll take some of their lumps. But you know, they beat Southwestern in the Roxana tournament. So. You know, we'll see how it goes.
That's
but
a
they
good
had a,
tournament.
They had a couple nice players too. They had some girls that can knock the snot out of the ball. So
you're putting snot in the ball now?
Yeah, every now and then.
It's how you juice it up. It's a juiced ball.
Not in the face.
Yeah, please, please.
But yeah, so
If your sister's a coach, what can she tell us about what can you tell us about the Bunker Hill volleyball team?
I'm guessing.
Probably not as much as I should.
I am guessing he has told us all he knows about.
Not exactly true.
Sure.
Not exactly true.
That they're called the Minute Maids.
They're called the Minute Maids. Yes. They don't have a lot of size, but what they do, what she tells me is that they have 5 girls on the floor at all times that can put it home at the net.
And that's a big thing, you know. I mean, yeah, that gives you some – you're not just setting up for one player. You can do a lot of things if you can do that. So,
and she's kind of viewed this as their year to make some noise. They got a good mix of seniors and juniors that, you know, they've come through the junior high program with her. So she kind of views this as a team that can make some noise. She was very happy. They played Lincolnwood the other day, lost the match, but took them to 3 games.
Yeah.
And she was very happy.
That was a really competitive game too, you know, just from looking at the scores. And Lincolnwood's an experienced team with a lot of returning players, a lot of good young players on it too. So that was a good result for both teams, I think.
And I think like around here for volleyball, to me there's 2 teams that you measure – if you want to know where you're at, you measure yourself against Lincolnwood and Carlinville.
Yeah, I think that's – especially the last probably 3-4 years, you know, that's been a good measuring stick. I know Hillsboro has Carlinville coming up pretty soon. Yeah, actually on the 31st, so on Thursday. So that ought to be a fun game. You know, Vandalia has been playing very well and lately has a former Hillsboro grad as their coach too, Amber Connor. So, you know, I think the South Central Conference couldn't have – I mean, Pena is always good. Carlinville is always good. But there's also a lot of solid teams around. So,
and it must just be – a really fun sport to play because you hear a lot of girls who maybe where volleyball isn't their best sport, but it's their favorite sport.
Yeah. You know, you get to go up and – I mean, I can see why some guys would like it too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see why girls wouldn't. You know, you get to go up and hit a ball as hard as you can with your fist and – you know, and the basic, if you hit somebody in the face, you're probably going to score points.
Right. Right. You don't get penalized for it.
I'm not sure if that's what's going through their heads, but, you know.
Some of them probably.
Yeah.
Probably, you know. So, yeah. Whereas in soccer, you don't really want to get hit in the face.
That's not good.
I saw 2 kids get hit in the face within 10 minutes of each other. Yeah. Oof. Just, ugh.
In golf, Hillsboro's still pretty good.
Yeah, they're solid.
Hillsboro's good. Alex Bishop looks like he finished 1st at the Greenview Bulldog.
That's
invite.
Litchfield, you know.
Did so. I say Hillsboro? I meant Litchfield.
You well, you were talking about Hillsboro, then you
yeah,
switched to Litchfield.
Yeah, well.
But that's okay. Hey, we'll forgive you.
Yeah,
Alex Bishop.
Why don't you take it from here
Alex,
in the golf
Alex, stuff, Alex Bishop, 1st at the Greenview Bulldog invite. That's played at Country Hills.
It's 18 holes, right?
Yeah, 18 holes as Dan Newkirk said, they host a lot of regionals and sectionals. So good course to test yourself out on. Alex is one of the top golfers. He's been medalist the last four matches. And they're not like they're playing our Sisters of the Poor. You know, they're playing they played Marquette, and he tied for medalist honors. They played Hillsboro, and he beat the other two Alexes and you know, some of those guys that have just been, you know, putting up low numbers. So Litchfield as a team finished seventh. They have potential to do a little bit better than that sometimes. Didn't look like they played their best rounds, but they have some good players. And like I said, seventh out of 17 teams is on a hard course is still pretty good.
It's a good showing.
I said Hillsboro, and I skipped over Tess Sadoff
having
a 93 to lead Hillsboro at the Rocket Invite.
Yeah, Hillsboro actually has a girls team now. They have four players. So on the girls side, they have a new girl. They're going to bring her around kind of slow just because she hasn't played as many events. I believe she may be a freshman even. You know, you got to have four to have a team score, so that'll help. But in reality, Tess Sadoff's a good player. She has potential to finish fairly high in the South Central Conference. Roxanna's got a couple of really good players that'll also be up there. So it'll you know, like I said, Tess is a busy girl too. She's involved in a lot of stuff. So
I don't expect you to have an answer for this, but it's amazing to me that Hillsboro consistently, boys and girls, has such great golfers.
Yeah, I think part of it's due to they've had youth programs at the Hillsboro Country Club that Jeff Eichhoff is now kind of running the junior programs over the summer, and also at Indian Springs, like Danny Baker and Brooke Beeler and a few other, you know, of the players from the past have kind of taken that over. So they have strong youth programs, and I think that's the biggest reason.
You know, that's interesting because, you know, you hear all the time about JFL and football being so important, the junior high, whether it's volleyball or basketball, being so important to building the program. You never really hear it about golf.
No, and I think, like I said, I think – and I know Litchfield's had some golf camps too, but – I think the kids that you have the most success with are the ones that have been out there for 10 years and they're only 16, 17 years old. So,
and as someone who loves golf, I get so infuriated when I see these 16-year-old kids shooting. Like, how are you doing that?
I played in the team golf outing this weekend, and we finished 31st out of 32 teams. And we cheated. So, you know, But I gave up caring about golf a long time ago. I just go out for the fun of it, you know.
There's nothing like watching, especially a high school kid, just because of the age, when they are just scoring. Like, it's just so impressive.
Well, and just, you know, you watch, you know, a kid like Alex Eichhoff, who's, you know, a tall kid, big kid, you know, and just drives the heck out of the ball. But then you got, you know, smaller guys like Alex White and Alex Bishop, and they bring – it's a totally different game, but they bring, you know, the same level of play. They may do it in a different style, but it's really – yeah, like you said, it almost makes you sick how much better they are than you.
It really does.
Especially because it's like you only get better with age, too.
Yeah, what are they going to be when they're 25?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also, you know, especially for like the Hillsboro kids, it helps to have, you know, a guy like Jeff Eichhoff, you know, be the coach. You know, Jeff was the PGA pro at Pena for a while and, you know, just a standout golfer, you know, whenever he was growing up in Hillsboro. So to have him come back and be a part of the program is just huge. I mean, he's... Bob Allen said it last year, too, whenever he was coaching the girls' side. It made him a better coach because he would be able to go to him and say, hey, Jeff, you know, they're doing this. Hey, they got a question. Can you help them out? You know, and now that Danny Baker's the head coach of the girls' side, he's a, you know, golf savant, too. Yeah. So, you know, I expect the girl – I really think the girls' program can grow and kind of come back to where it was a few years ago. But it's been fun. Yeah, they're a fun team to watch, and I've already got plans on going to Bloomington for the boys' tournament in a few months.
Bet.
So yeah, probably. You know, usually I go up on the first day and don't make it to the second one. Probably going to have to at least go to the second one this day.
Better extend that hotel room.
Yeah. So, but like I said, good golfers out there. Should be a fun event.
So what does our football schedule look like for this weekend coming up for our South Central Conference teams?
I believe I am going to the lovely land of the Pious Allbirds to watch Litchfield and Southwestern. So they play, at Pious Hall. Carlinville hosts Gillespie. Greenville.
Tim, you'll be at that game.
That's where I'll be.
Yep, Greenville hosts Staunton, Hillsboro, and Vandalia at Hillsboro. And Roxana at Pena. So
Hillsboro Vandy, that's the game of the week in the South Central.
That'll be a beast. So that'll be a fun game to watch.
Gary Boker and Dan Newkirk will have the call for that one.
That's awesome. So
we'll have the Pizza Man pregame show live from Carlinville for the Carlinville home opener, live at the field. Sounds went pretty well for week one at Hillsboro.
Yeah. We had a really good time at the pep rally on Thursday night. Thank you to David for last minute letting me borrow his sound equipment.
No problem.
This weekend is the Grace-filled 5K.
The second Grace 5K, yeah.
So we'll have over 400 people in Hillsboro, plus about 100 spread out through 50 states and five countries. So
five countries.
Yeah, yeah. And not like cheap countries. We didn't like get, you know, like Mexico and Canada. I mean, Canada.
Those are countries. The easy ones.
Canada's one of them, you know. But we got England, Australia, Thailand, Japan.
You had to cross water to get those.
Yeah, yeah. Several hours of plane flights, you know. Yeah. Granted, they live there, but, you know, or temporary live there. But, no, it's Hillsboro football team donated $250 at the pep rally for INAD research in honor of my daughter Grace. And the I know the Hillsboro volleyball team is running or walking, they haven't decided yet, in the race too. So
Kyle, do you know how much you've raised for INAD since you started?
I would put the number probably around $130,000, $140,000. As like all the families put together, I would say it's probably close to closer to 400,000. But there's stuff happening all the time. They got a new there's a new INAD foundation that's just kind of started to get up and rolling that a set of parents in New Jersey have done. So they're not for profit and so we're kind of working with them too for different things, and still working with Washington University. So we're stoked.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Like I said, well, it's been a terrible circumstance, mm-hmm. but it really brings out the best in your community, and we've really felt a lot of love for it. So
well, you knew that this area was good, but you have seen firsthand.
Absolutely.
The size of people's hearts around here.
Yeah, it's been really cool. So, especially seeing like a lot of the kids and coaches that I work with week in and week out, you know, kind of step up and say, hey, you know, you help us by covering, you know, our sports, you know, we want to help you. So that's pretty special. Yep.
Well, Tim, you've been introduced to the Brushback now. Did you have fun?
It was a great time.
Good.
Great time.
Good.
Now comes the initiation.
Oh boy! Just like high school, where are the eggs and the doggy biscuits?
Where's the paddle, the frat paddle?
They don't get to do initiations anymore.
No, that's probably a good thing.
Probably,
yeah.
They stopped at the. What was unfortunate for me was they stopped at my senior year, so I got initiated, but didn't get to do the initiating. So that was unfortunate.
Yeah, it's never good.
Gotta stop us somewhere.
You know what? In reality, beating children is probably not a great idea.
Yeah.
True.
It's hard to argue that point.
There is no response.
It's like, well, what are you going to do? Yeah, every now and then it's okay.
And with that, I think we'll end
it's
the
Brushback.
Yeah. So again, you can find us online. Follow us on Twitter at BrushbackWSMI. You can follow Kyle on Twitter at JN Sports. I'm on Twitter at DJenkinsWSMI. Tim is on the WSMI radio or WSMI Sports Twitter feed every once in a while.
Not a big fan of the Twitter.
Really?
I don't like social media.
You used to be in the Twitter.
I like to use Twitter to get scores for my job here, but I have no interest in having an account and tweeting.
He's 36 now.
I'm 36 now. Believe me, if I had social media accounts, I would not still be employed here.
Well, nevertheless, he's following somewhere every once in a while at WSMI Sports. You can also like us on Facebook at Brushback, or with the Brushback with Jenkins and Kahirsch, and Tim Mize every once in a while.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem.
Feel free to follow David just around on the street.
He loves it.
Love it.
I don't get out that often, though. Yeah. Usually at my house.
So make sure you watch for him.
Yeah, if you're following me, then I'm going to call the cops. Because that means you're stalking my house, and I have kids. So that's the way it goes. Listen for us every Monday afternoon at WSMIRadio.com, and we'll be back again next week. Until then, so long.